Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. Getting a COVID-19 vaccine just got a lot easier locally, and we'll have details today on where you can find walk-in vaccination clinics. Then on Green Scene in honor of Earth Day, Supervisor Joel Anderson has issued a message for his colleagues calling for environmental equity for communities in East County. Hear why on today's show. And in Washington, D.C., President Joe Biden's address to the nation this week laid out ambitious plans for jobs creation and more. We'll have details in his own words, including his plans on how to pay for the new programs. Congressman Darrell Issa, though a critic of infrastructure spending plans by the president, is asking a House committee for separate funds for three major highway projects in the San Diego region, and we'll have details. On People Power, hear about a basketball game between homeless kids and members of the El Cajon Police Department aimed at building trust in the community. Plus, hear about a People's Forum for Justice coming up on May 4th, and it's all about redistricting as well as equity for all, including students, as we emerge from the COVID-19 pandemic. The Sheriff's Department is now allowing visits at some county jails to resume, but not at the county's only women's detention facility in Santee and two other facilities. Lions, Tigers, and Bears, the exotic animal sanctuary in Alpine, has just received three new rescued big cats, including a white tiger, and we'll have details. From California News Service, hear about the governor's plan to end fracking in California by 2024. Then on Crime Beat, we'll have news about three frightening shootings in East County recently, including a freeway shooting, a woman fatally shot while seated in a parked car, and a Navy sailor who answered a knock at his door and was killed by two masked men. Next up, we'll take you on a road trip to Borrego Springs, a major attraction in East County's Anza-Borrego Desert every spring. And though the famed Julian Fiddle and Pickin' competition can't be held due to the pandemic this year, same with last year, we'll be re-airing some performances from the past for your enjoyment today. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
This is Alexa Oslowski with a health report. Getting a COVID-19 vaccine in San Diego County just became easier. All county-run COVID-19 vaccination sites are now open for walk-ups with no appointments required. Here in East County, those locations include the East Public Health Center in El Cajon, the Lemon Grove Community Center, the Tubman Chavez Community Center on Euclid, and Viejas Arena's Parking Lot 13 at San Diego State University. Hours vary by location, and the number of vaccines may be limited at some spaces. You can find a full list of county-run vaccination sites in East County Magazine's health section or at the County News Service website. Local health officials also announced this week that the county has resumed use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccines, which were temporarily paused by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in order to study adverse reactions in a small number of recipients. The FDA has concluded that the benefits of the single-dose vaccine outweigh its risks and approved it for emergency use. The California Department of Public Health over the weekend also approved the vaccine's usage. The county's Health and Human Services Agency cautions, however, that women under the age of 50 should be aware of the rare but increased risk of blood clots after the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. If you have concerns, please talk to your doctor. The other two vaccines available locally, made by Pfizer and Moderna, have not been linked to any blood clot issues. The county has about 12,000 doses of the J&J vaccine available and will offer them at mobile vaccination sites and walk-up vaccine pods. The one-dose vaccine will also be used for homebound individuals and agricultural workers who are often more difficult to reach for the second dose. COVID-19 vaccines are available at no cost to anyone 16 and older who lives or works in San Diego County. Minors aged 16 or 17 need parental consent to make an appointment or must be accompanied by the parent or guardian to get vaccinated at a no-appointment site. In addition to the new walk-in options, the county will also continue to offer vaccination appointments that can be scheduled online. To make an appointment, go to vaccinationsuperstation www.greensceneresd.com.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
April 22nd was Earth Day, and newly elected Supervisor Joel Anderson delivered an Earth Day message on his Twitter account in which he challenged his supervisors to provide environmental equity for residents of East County in his district. Here's what he had to say.
Hi, I'm Supervisor Joel Anderson, and I want to take a moment to share some words about Earth Day. When most people think of San Diego County, the first thing that often comes to mind is our pristine beaches, our expansive bay, and our beautiful city skyline. However, further east, in my district, the same county tells an entirely different tale, one of flash floods in the backcountry, wildfires in the mountains, and poor air quality for millions of county residents that call East County home. Environmental equity means that no single community should face disadvantages in dealing with natural disasters, pollution, or litter. No one should need extreme wealth or political connections to protect the well-being of their families and communities. As we strive to make our beaches and bays more beautiful, we must make the same efforts to protect our backcountry, which is home to San Diego's magnificent mountains, lakes, and deserts. Every young person deserves the same opportunities to grow up in a safe neighborhood in a clean environment. So let's work to keep San Diego County clean for generations to come. I'd like to thank my colleagues for recognizing the importance of environmental equity and its effect on the 2nd District. I look forward to making our county a safer, cleaner place for all San Diegans. Have a happy Earth Day.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, serving San Diego and East County, and streaming live worldwide on knsj.org. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with a Capitol Report. 100 days into his presidency, Joe Biden addressed Congress and the nation Wednesday night in a speech that laid out the most ambitious goals since Franklin Delano Roosevelt after the Great Depression. There are parallels, with Biden taking office amid a global pandemic that sparked widespread joblessness, and the scope of actions envisioned by Biden are on par with FDR's New Deal. The president spoke about crisis and opportunity, rebuilding the nation by building back better, revitalizing our democracy, and winning the future for America, in his words. He noted that his administration took office amid the worst pandemic in a century, the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, and the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War, referring to the Capitol insurrection in January. In his speech, President Biden touted his administration's success in getting 220 million COVID-19 vaccinations administered. That's more than double the 100 million that he promised during his campaign. His American Rescue Plan, passed by Congress and signed into law, sent $1,400 checks to most Americans, provided food for the hungry, rental assistance to prevent evictions, and loans to help small businesses reopen and keep employees on the job. Biden also touted free preschool and community college, and putting the U.S. back on a competitive footing with China and other nations. He also claimed that his American Rescue Plan is on track to cut child poverty in half this year. President Biden then laid out in detail his plans to create good-paying, middle-class jobs through his infrastructure program. Here's what he had to say in detail.
How do we pay for my jobs and family plan? I made it clear we can do it without increasing the deficit. Let's start with what I will not do. I will not impose any tax increase on people making less than $400,000. But it's time for corporate America and the wealthiest 1% of Americans to just begin to pay their fair share. Just their fair share. Sometimes I have arguments with my friends in the Democratic Party. I think you should be able to become a billionaire and a millionaire, but pay your fair share. A recent study shows that 55 of the nation's biggest corporations paid zero federal tax last year. Those 55 corporations made in excess of $40 billion in profit. A lot of companies also evade taxes through tax havens in Switzerland and Bermuda and the Cayman Islands. And they benefit from tax loopholes and deductions for offshoring jobs and shifting profits overseas. It's not right. We're going to reform corporate taxes so they pay their fair share and help pay for the public investments their businesses will benefit from as well. We're going to reward work, not just wealth. We take the top tax bracket for the wealthiest 1% of Americans, those making over $400,000 or more, back up to where it was when George W. Bush was president, when he started, 39.6%. That's where it was when George W. was president. We're going to get rid of the loopholes, allow Americans to make more than $1 million a year and pay a lower tax rate on their capital gains than Americans who receive a paycheck. We're only going to affect 0.3% of all Americans by that action, 0.3%. And the IRS is going to crack down on millionaires and billionaires who cheat on their taxes. It's estimated to be billions of dollars by think tanks that are left, right, and center. I'm not looking to punish anybody, but I will not add a tax burden, additional tax burden of the middle class in this country. They're already paying enough. I believe what I propose is fair, fiscally responsible. And it raises revenue to pay for the plans I propose and will create millions of jobs that will grow the economy and enhance our financial standing in the country. When you hear someone say they don't want to raise taxes on the wealthiest 1% or corporate America, ask them, whose taxes you want to raise? Instead, who's they going to cut? Look, the big tax cut of 2017. Remember, it was supposed to pay for itself. That was how it was sold. And generate vast economic growth. Instead, it added $2 trillion to the deficit. It was a huge windfall for corporate America and those at the very top. Instead of using the tax saving to raise wages and invest in research and development, it poured billions of dollars into the pockets of CEOs. In fact, the pay gap between CEOs and their workers is now among the largest in history. According to one study, CEOs make 320 times what the average worker in their corporation makes. It used to be in the below 100. The pandemic has only made things worse. 20 million Americans lost their job in the pandemic, working in middle-class America. At the same time, roughly 650 billionaires in America saw their net worth increase by more than $1 trillion in the same exact period. Let me say it again. 650 people increased their wealth by more than $1 trillion during this pandemic. And they're now worth more than $4 trillion. My fellow Americans, trickle down. Trickle down economics has never worked. And it's time to grow the economy from the bottom and the middle out. You know, there's a broad consensus of economists left, right, and center, and they agree what I'm proposing will help create millions of jobs and generate historic economic growth. These are among the highest values investments we can make as a nation.
And then the president talked about the jobs that his administration has already created and how he intends to pay for his ambitious plans to create even more jobs.
And maybe most importantly, thanks to the American Rescue Plan, we're on track to cut child poverty in America in half this year. And in the process, While this was all going on, the economy created more than 1,300,000 new jobs in 100 days. More jobs were first... More jobs in the first 100 days than any president on record. The International Monetary Fund... The International Monetary Fund is now estimating our economy will grow at a rate of more than 6% this year. That will be the fastest pace of economic growth in this country in nearly four decades. America's moving forward, but we can't stop now. We're in competition with China and other countries to win the 21st century. We're at a great inflection point in history. We have to do more than just build back better. We have to build back better. We have to compete more strenuously than we have. Throughout our history, if you think about it, public investment in infrastructure has literally transformed America, our attitudes as well as our opportunities. The Transcontinental Railroad, the interstate highways, united two oceans and brought a totally new age of progress to the United States of America. Universal public schools and college aid opened wide the doors of opportunity. Scientific breakthroughs took us to the moon. Now we're on Mars. Discovering vaccines gave us the internet and so much more. These are investments we made together as one country, and investments that only the government was in a position to make. Time and again, they propel us into the future. That's why I propose the American Jobs Plan, a once-in-a-generation investment in America itself. This is the largest jobs plan since World War II. Creates jobs to upgrade our transportation infrastructure. Jobs modernizing our roads, bridges, highways. Jobs building ports and airports, rail corridors, transit lines. It's clean water. And today, up to 10 million homes in America and more than 400,000 schools and child care centers have pipes with lead in them, including drinking water. A clear and present danger to our children's health. American Jobs Plan creates jobs replacing 100% of the nation's lead pipes and service lines, so every American can drink clean water. And the process will create thousands and thousands of good-paying jobs. It creates jobs connecting every American with high-speed internet, including 35% of the rural America that still doesn't have it. This is going to help our kids and our businesses succeed in the 21st century economy. And I'm asking the Vice President to lead this effort, if she will, because I know it'll get done. Creates jobs building a modern power grid. Our grids are vulnerable to storms, hacks, catastrophic failures, with tragic results, as we saw in Texas and elsewhere during the winter storms. The American Jobs Plan will create jobs to lay thousands of miles of transmission lines needed to build a resilient and fully clean grid. We can do that. Look, American Jobs Plan will help millions of people get back to their jobs and back to their careers. 2 million women have dropped out of the workforce during this pandemic. 2 million. And too often because they couldn't get the care they needed to care for their child or care for an elderly parent who needs help. 800,000 families are on the Medicare waiting list right now to get home care for their aging parent or loved one with disability. If you think it's not important, check out in your own district, Democrat or Republican, Democrat or Republican voters. Their great concern, almost as much as their children, is taking care of an elderly loved one who can't be left alone. Medicaid contemplated it, but this plan is going to help those families and create jobs for our caregivers with better wages and better benefits, continuing a cycle of growth. For too long, we've failed to use the most important word when it comes to meeting the climate crisis. Jobs. 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 For me, when I think climate change, I think jobs. American Jobs Plan will put engineers and construction workers to work building more energy-efficient buildings and homes. Electrical workers, IBEW members, installing 500,000 charging stations along our highways so we can own the electric car market. Farmers planting cover crops so they can reduce the carbon dioxide in the air and get paid for doing it. Look, think about it. There is simply no reason why the blades for wind turbines can't be built in Pittsburgh instead of Beijing. No reason. None. No reason. So folks, there's no reason why American workers can't lead the world in the production of electric vehicles and batteries. I mean, there's no reason. We have this capacity. We're the brightest, best trained people in the world. The American Jobs Plan is going to create millions of good paying jobs, jobs Americans can raise a family on. As my dad would then say, with a little breathing room. And all the investments in the American Job Plan will be guided by one principle: buy American. Buy American. And I might note parenthetically, that does not violate any trade agreement. It's been the law since the 30s. Buy American. American tax dollars are going to be used to buy American products made in America to create American jobs. That's the way it's supposed to be, and it will be in this administration. And I made it clear to all my cabinet people, their ability to give exemptions has been strenuously limited. It will be American products. Now I know some of you at home are wondering whether these jobs are for you. So many of you, so many of the folks I grew up with, feel left behind, forgotten, in an economy that's so rapidly changing. It's frightening. I want to speak directly to you, because you think about it. That's what people are most worried about. Can I fit in? Independent experts estimate the American Jobs Plan will add millions of jobs and trillions of dollars to economic growth in the years to come. It is a 8-year program. These are good paying jobs that can't be outsourced. Nearly 90% of the infrastructure jobs created in the American Jobs Plan do not require a college degree. 75% don't require an associate's degree. The American Jobs Plan is a blue collar blueprint to build America. That's what it is.
Now, despite Biden's plans to raise taxes on the wealthy, Wall Street has reacted favorably, with the S&P 500 index actually up 10% since his inauguration. And that's the best start economically for any president since FDR in the 1930s, according to the Wall Street Journal. Despite Trump's dour prediction that if Biden won the election, quote, you're going to see a crash like you've never seen before in the stock market. Biden's speech before a joint session of Congress had limited attendance due to the pandemic as well as security concerns following the Capitol insurrection in January. The president made his case for expanding federal programs to help Americans get back on their feet and retool the economy, stating, "It's time we remembered that we, the people, are the government, you and I." And he cited the unprecedented investment to develop the COVID-19 vaccine as a positive example of government investment to help the public. In response to racial unrest over police use of force, including the killing of George Floyd, Biden spoke of the need to address racism and called on Congress to pass the George Floyd Police Reform Bill by next month's anniversary of Floyd's death by a Minneapolis officer convicted of murder. That measure is expected to face an uphill battle, however, with heavy Republican opposition. The president also touched on foreign policy, speaking of his announcement to withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan by September 11th, 20 years after the 9/11 attacks on New York and Washington. He also pledged competition with China, holding Russia accountable, and addressing concerns over nuclear programs in Iran and North Korea, though he did not provide details. Biden pledged to help Americans turn peril into possibility, noting that Americans are accustomed to rising up after being knocked down. Biden said, "We're working again, dreaming again, discovering again, and leading the world again," adding that he has spoken with about 40 world leaders since taking office. "America is on the move again," he concluded. Senator Tim Scott, the only African-American Republican senator, delivered the Republican rebuttal to Biden's speech. Senator Scott defended the nation's record on race, stating, "America is not a racist country." He noted that unemployment for African Americans dipped to 5.9%, the lowest since 1972 under the Trump administration before the pandemic. Despite admitting to being racially profiled by police himself, even while as a sitting U.S. senator, Scott praised police officers in general and insisted, "We are not adversaries." Scott also credited former President Trump for getting the first doses of COVID-19 out to the public, albeit in very limited amounts, before Biden invoked a War Powers Act to boost production. Scott noted that the prior Congress did pass multiple bipartisan relief bills, and he criticized Biden for not opening schools sooner. Biden has, however, released a five-step plan to get all school children back into classrooms by this fall, although many have already reopened. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery. San Diego Republican Congressman Daryl Issa has criticized President Biden's agenda after the president's speech this week, which included an infrastructure job program to rebuild highways, railways, and other infrastructure. Issa called Biden's agenda classic old Democrat, adding in an interview on KUSI, "Nobody is ever going to pay for it except for some unnamed rich person that we're going to make pay these trillions of dollars." Now, despite criticizing the president's plans and not voicing support for the infrastructure program, Congressman Issa gave his constituents a different perspective when he announced projects in his 50th congressional district that he is submitting to the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, which he hopes to see funded in the 2021 Surface Transportation Reauthorization legislation. That's legislation that expires in September. Issa stated, "Investing in safe, congestion-free roadways is essential to allowing residents and businesses to keep Southern California on the move." Specifically, he's asking the committee to prioritize funding for three local projects: the Interstate 15 State Route 78 intersection in North County, lane expansion on Highway 52 in Santee, and upgrades to the State Route 11 at the Otay Mesa East Port of Entry. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Jonathan Getz with the People Power Report. Helping to build community relationships via a game of basketball, the El Cajon Police Department's team played a team of kids at the East County Transitional Living Center on April 19th. The center houses formerly homeless families transitioning to begin new lives. In an era where policing has been in the spotlight nationally, under scrutiny over use of force incidents, perhaps this is a glimpse of what can be. Pastor Harold Brown, CEO of the East County Transitional Living Center, says, "I think it's really encouraging that the police are taking the time to play with our kids. We want the kids to know that the police are our friends and they are just people that have a job to do. And, hopefully, the officers will gain respect for the kids, too. The center's coach, Joe Salas, noted they have 26 kids on their co-ed team, named Home Court Advantage. The players range in age from 5 to 16. The kids' team has played at halftime at a San Diego Guardians game, San Diego's professional basketball team. Salas adds, two players made travel ball teams. One of those travel ball players, 12-year-old Jeremiah Salas, passed along his tips for players. Play hard, stay hydrated, he says, adding, I'm good at defense, 3 points, and dribbling. Evidenced by multiple baskets he made during the game, his words were not just boasts. El Cajon Police Sergeant Gray quipped, we're going to try and not lose, adding that the officers' team held 4 days of practice. It wasn't enough. The kids' team won 25-24 in this fun-spirited game of hoops. Shortly after the basketball game, on April 24th, the center held a groundbreaking ceremony for new dormitories. The Building Hope ceremony marked the start of construction for the dorms that will house over 100 men and women, also allowing the number of children at the facility to grow from 180 to 250. It also marks the beginning of hopes for a brighter future for many more homeless kids and adults in East County.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
I'm Jonathan Getz. You're invited to participate in a People's Virtual Forum for Justice on Tuesday, May 4th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. This resident-organized community forum will cover the redistricting process and COVID-19 access for Black and Indigenous people of color in East County, including access to quality education for all children during and after the pandemic. The forum is sponsored by the East County Justice Coalition, Justice Overcoming Boundaries, and Borderlands for Equity. You're invited to listen, learn, and take action to protect your vote and the health of everyone in our community. Make your vote count in 2022 through elections, redistricting, voter participation, and civic engagement. You can find the link to RSVP on our website, eastcountymagazine.org, search term justice.
The San Diego County Sheriff's Department is rolling out a phased resumption of in-person visits at some detention facilities. Effective April 30th, in-person visits can now be scheduled at the George Bailey Detention Facility, San Diego Central Jail, South Bay Detention Facility, and Vista Detention Facility. However, in-person visits are still not allowed at the Las Colinas Detention and Reentry Facility for Women in Santee, or at the East Mesa Reentry Facility or Facility 8. Video visits will be allowed at these facilities starting May 15th, but not in person yet. A release from the Sheriff's Department states, the past year has been challenging for the whole world as we faced the COVID-19 pandemic. That burden greatly increased for those with an incarcerated loved one they could not physically see. The decision to suspend in-person visits was difficult, but necessary to reduce the spread of COVID-19 in our detention facilities and communities, the release concludes. The Sheriff's Department says it will continue to evaluate and revise jail visitation schedules in accordance with health and safety protocols. To verify the status of visits at any county-run detention facility, you can go to sdsheriff.gov and click on the Who's in Jail section. To protect inmates and staff from COVID-19, visitors will be required to wear masks, have temperatures taken, and visits will be limited to one adult and one child per visit. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, serving San Diego and East County, and streaming live worldwide on knsj.org.
Lions, tigers, and bears in Alpine, San Diego's only accredited big cat and bear sanctuary has rescued three exotic cats, the last animals left at a facility in Southern California that will close down at the end of the month. The new residents are Lily, a female white tiger, Eli, a male African serval, and Savannah, a female African serval. They came from a facility that could no longer care for the animals. Lions, tigers, and bears will provide lifetime care for the mature big cats, which arrived on April 27th. All three cats are mature and will require ongoing veterinary care. Lions, tigers, and bears is one of the few sanctuaries in the United States with the highest level of accreditation from the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries and the American Sanctuary Association. The exotic animal rescue nonprofit, led by Bobby Brink, has coordinated rescues for more than 600 big cats, bears, wolves, and other exotic animals across the U.S. in need of permanent refuge and lifetime homes at reputable sanctuaries. For more information or to donate to help care for the new arrivals, you can visit lionstigersandbears.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Mitchell Murphy.
Clean air advocates say they have mixed emotions about California's plan to phase out fracking. On Friday, Governor Gavin Newsom said the state will not issue new fracking permits starting in 2024 and will work to end extraction of oil and gas by 2045. Kobe Nasek is with a group called Vision, which stands for Voices in Solidarity Against Oil and Gas in Neighborhoods. He says the move is a huge step toward climate justice, but he'd like to see a mandatory 2,500-foot setback for new or re-permitted wells to keep them away from homes, schools, hospitals, and retirement homes.
Taking a look at the science, it's very easy to see that 2,500 feet is the minimum that we need to protect people, especially pregnant mothers, from the negative health impacts that include cancer, asthma, and now a higher risk of COVID-19 mortality.
Opponents of the governor's plan say it will cost jobs and increase the state's dependence on imported oil. A bill to ban fracking, SB 467, failed a few weeks ago in committee. A slimmed-down version that solely focuses on buffer zones currently lacks the votes to pass. California is the only major oil-producing state that does not require setbacks near wells in order to control air pollution. Dan Ress with the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment says setbacks would only lead to the closure of a small percentage of wells, but would have a big impact on health in low-income communities.
So 1% annually is not a huge drop-off in production. We see no reason that would lead to major cuts in jobs or revenue for local government.
According to a 2020 investigation from the LA Times and the Center for Public Integrity, more than 2 million Californians live within half a mile of an active well or one that is inactive but unplugged. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. A series of shootings across East County has residents on edge. The motives and shooters remain unknown, and it's unclear whether there may be any connection between any of these violent incidents. Shortly after midnight, the morning of Saturday, April 24th, 22-year-old Cornelius Dante Brown answered a knock at the door of his apartment on Echo Court in La Mesa. Witnesses told police that two black men wearing ski masks and black hooded sweatshirts were on the porch, and one of them opened fire. The shot struck Brown in the chest and neck, and the suspects fled on foot. La Mesa police officers administered CPR to Brown until paramedics arrived and took the victim to Sharp Memorial Hospital, where unfortunately he died during surgery. Brown was an active-duty sailor stationed at the U.S. Naval Base on Coronado. If you have any information on this crime, you can call the La Mesa Police Department or call Crime Stoppers anonymous toll-free tip line at 888-580-TIPS or visit sdcrimestoppers.com. Crime Stoppers is offering a reward of up to $1,000 for information leading to an arrest in this case. The second shooting occurred later that night, April 24th, around 11:30 p.m., when a woman seated in a parked car in the 3600 block of Bancroft Drive in Spring Valley was shot. Deputies responded to calls reporting gunshots, but the victim had already been driven to a hospital where she died 2 days later. She's been identified as 40-year-old Carmen Dion Anderson, who went by Carmen Hicks. Anyone with information about this incident is asked to call the Sheriff's Homicide Unit at 858-285-6330 or remain anonymous by calling Crime Stoppers. And that number again is 888-580-8477. Now, the third incident occurred on Monday, April 26, shortly before 8 in the morning, when a motorist driving a Ford Ranger pickup truck was shot while driving on State Route 125 near the Mission Gorge exit. A black SUV pulled up alongside the victim's vehicle, and someone in the SUV opened fire, striking the victim in the neck. Fortunately, the injured motorist managed to drive to a friend's home to call 911. Deputies from the Santee Sheriff's Station responded to the call. The victim was taken to a hospital and later released. A $1,000 reward is also being offered for tips leading to a felony arrest in this case, and you can call Crime Stoppers at 888-580-8477 to remain anonymous, or call the Sheriff's Department at 858-565-5200.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
With spring in full gear, this week's Destination East County spotlights Borrego Springs. I'm Jonathan Getz, your host. Special thanks to contributors of the Borrego Springs portion of our Weekend Getaways coverage, Miriam Raftery, Bobby Zane, Liz Orient, and myself, Jonathan Getz. Located in the heart of the Anza-Borrego Desert, in the furthest east reach of San Diego County, Borrego Springs is a place where visitors are surrounded by nature, can stargaze in an internationally designated dark skies region, enjoy spring wildflowers, visit the largest state park in California, gaze at whimsical statues across the desert, and also find cultural attractions from art shows to musical programs in a performing arts center. Spring is a great time to visit the desert. Not everything is open due to COVID-19, so be sure to call first to verify your itinerary and be flexible. The Borrego Springs Chamber of Commerce website lists an activities calendar and a Things to Do section with options such as birding, bicycling, off-roading, desert hiking, golf, tennis, and a lot more. Anza-Borrego State Park is the largest state park in California, with 500 miles of dirt roads, 12 wilderness areas, many hiking trails, washes, wildflowers, palm groves, cacti, and sweeping vistas. Visitors may also glimpse roadrunners, golden eagles, kit foxes, mule deer, and bighorn sheep, as well as iguanas, chicuelas, and the red diamond rattlesnakes. The park is named for Spanish explorer Juan Bautista de Anza and the Spanish and Arabic word borrego for sheep. Lodging options in Borrego Springs range from luxurious resorts such as La Casa de Zorro to historical properties, camping in vintage trailers and RV camping, such as at the Palm Canyon Hotel and RV Resort. Desert USA offers weekly updates on wildflower viewing places each spring. Always carry plenty of water when traveling in the desert, and make sure your vehicle has a full tank of gas. Convenience stores in Borrego Springs can be kind of expensive as everything has to be trucked in, so consider packing a cooler to take with you, bring sunscreen, sunglasses, and, if hiking, wear sturdy shoes, and keep an eye and ear out for scorpions and snakes. Stay on trails to avoid trampling fragile, beautiful desert blooms. While you're there, consider checking out the world-renowned metal sculptures at Gaieta Meadows. The 130-plus life-sized permanent sculptures are the brainchild of Ricardo Braceda, some of which are typically for sale in Christmas Circle in the middle of town. Within Anza-Borrego State Park, there are numerous trails for hikers to explore. The most well-known route is a moderate 3-mile loop called Palm Canyon Trail. A docent advised that the palm tree oasis and fresh spring water are well worth the effort. The trail is also a prime location for bighorn sheep sightings, although these sightings are more common in the summer when there are fewer humans around and the bighorn sheep have to travel farther for food and water. Find this information and more at eastcountymagazine.org, subsection under Best of East County, Weekend Getaways, or search term Weekend Getaways.
See you around, East County.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. The Julian Fiddle Camp and Julian Fiddle and Picking Competition have been on hold in 2020 and 2021 due to the global COVID-19 pandemic. So we thought this would be a nice time to take a little trip back in time and take you on a visit to the Julian Fiddle and Picking Contest from several years ago. Each year, the town of Julian comes alive with the sounds of music, fiddle music, along with banjos, guitars, mandolins, and mountain dulcimers at the annual Julian Fiddle and Pickin' Contest. Recently, we're seeing a revival of interest in the art of fiddling and, more broadly, a renaissance in traditional music both regionally and nationally. Avery Ellisman is the district representative from the California State Old Time Fiddlers Association, which started 40 years ago. Locally, there are now around 60 members on a mission to enhance appreciation for and involvement in old-time fiddling. He says there's been a huge bump in sales of acoustic instruments nationally, according to the National Association of Music Manufacturers. And locally, two major nationally known musical instrument manufacturers, Taylor Guitar and Deering Banjo, are both adding staff here in East County. Baby boomers have the money and the time to rediscover the joys of just fiddling around, a pastime that evokes bygone days when life was simpler and the pace of living was slower, with time to listen, learn, and make some music of your own. Ellisman says of fiddling, "This is the music of the people," adding, "One person sits with and teaches another." Fiddling is most prevalent in rural areas, also a popular pastime to while away time during inclement weather. It's what people did for entertainment, kids, long before the advent of radio, TV, or the internet. Ellisman says, "I consider music to be one of the highest forms of human celebration, a celebration of life. Fiddle music is infectious in a very positive way. The world needs more of that." Though played on the same instrument as a violin, he adds, "Fiddle music calls you to dance." Julian's old-time fiddle and pickin' contest has its roots in a Julian banjo and fiddle competition that started over 60 years ago. For many years, it was run by the Julian Lions Club. But as the club's membership aged, interest in hosting competitions waned. The focus shifted to entertainment, and eventually the event dwindled. Ellisman runs the Julian Family Fiddle Camp each spring to teach fiddling skills to the next generation. So he asked the Lions to partner with his group and the State Old-Time Fiddlers Association, but he says the Lions declined. So Ellisman turned to the community instead, asking the local Chamber of Commerce and local merchants to support a new and revitalized competition. The community agreed, and the competition has grown ever since. It's now a two-day event, encouraging visitors to spend the night and help boost Julian's local economy. Ellisman calls Julian the jewel of East County, noting that the event draws people from across the West and as far away as Alaska. The first modern-day Julian Fiddle and Pickin' Contest was held in 2014. Fiddling refers to bowed instruments, while picking is for unbowed instruments such as the guitar, mandolin, banjo, and mountain dulcimer. Ellisman notes proudly, "We have kids from age 6 up to age 86, and they're playing together. It's a wonderful way to bridge the generations." Before, Julian's events were not traditional fiddle contests, but now they are. Each competitor must perform three elements, a hoedown, a waltz, and a piece of the musician's choice, such as a jig, a polka, or something else. Competitors can compete in age-based categories or in an open competition that any age can enter. The open competition is considered the premier event, with bragging rights for winners who beat all comers. At the 2016 competition, Ellisman's 16-year-old daughter, Shira Ellisman, competed for the first time in the open competition category. Early in the day, youngsters competed, and then in the afternoon, the open picking competition was held, followed by the open fiddling division. Announcer Dwight Warden explained that the history of fiddling goes back to the 1700s in America. Thomas Jefferson was an avid fiddler. Fiddling gained popularity again in the 1900s, thanks to Henry Ford, who liked fiddling so much he had fiddle competitions in all of his dealerships. But then fiddling events shifted to hokum and show fests, with people playing fiddles behind their heads or beating on instruments with broom straws, Warden recalls. More recently, the pendulum has shifted back to traditional fiddling styles that popularized the genre to begin with. In the 1950s, a major competition in Idaho put the focus back on musicianship, and the modern fiddle competition was born. All three pieces must be played within just 4 minutes, and no hokum is allowed. Shira Ellisman opened up the fiddling competition playing Sally Johnson for her Hoedown entry, followed by Morning Star Waltz and Don't Let Your Gal Go Down. And here's a little bit of what this talented fiddler sounded like. The local teenager's teacher is Luke Price, a graduate of the Berklee School of Music, who is also a two-time winner of the National Fiddle Championship. After Shira was finished, the announcer exclaimed, "She's got a future ahead of her!" The competition was stiff, with many other talented performers. After the contest, three of the fiddle judges also performed, Matthew Hartz and Luke Price, both multiple National Fiddle Competition winners, and Mabel Vogt from Idaho. Hartz told the crowd, "I'm excited to be here and come before a group that's so supportive. For us to carry this music and art form forward, we need your support," he added, as some in the crowd offered up donations or purchased CDs. Hartz performed Festival Waltz and Shuck in the Bush to a wildly enthusiastic crowd. Here's a little excerpt of this dual national champion's performance. Finally, the long-awaited announcement of the awards winners came. First, the junior winners were announced, and then the open competitors. Tom Dillon of La Mesa, who plays with a bluegrass band, took first place in the open picking category. Then, the open fiddling winner was announced, and Shira Ellison claimed the top prize, beaming from ear to ear. Afterwards, her teacher, Luke Price, shared with us how he first got interested in music. "My dad started me on guitar and banjo at 3 years old," he said, in between signing autographs from his fans. "I started classical violin at age 8. It took me 2 years before I started exploring the fiddle genre." He said, adding, "It took me 2 years before I started exploring the fiddle genre." He's come a long way since then, passing along the skills and joy of old-time fiddling to a new generation, including Shira Ellison, as she commences her own musical journey. You can learn fiddling and picking skills locally by signing up through julianfiddlecamp.com and listen to the talented local and national competitors at the next Julian Fiddle and Pickin' Contest by visiting sandiegofiddler.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso. This is Miriam Raftery. You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, serving San Diego and East County, and streaming live worldwide on knsj.org.
The Manzanita Valley Market, the only grocery store in Ranchita, has long been a roadside attraction for motorists and cyclists heading to and from the Anzabarengo Desert. It's also been a popular stop for hikers on the Pacific Crest Trail to stock up on supplies or even sleep over in a bunkhouse. The market in East County's High Desert area is best known, however, for its iconic towering Yeti statue, affectionately known as Ranchetti. But on April 18th, the fire destroyed the market and also heavily damaged the Ranchetta real estate office next door. The damage totaled $350,000, according to CAL FIRE. Fortunately, the Yeti statue, built by realtor Joseph Rao, survived the blaze, and no one was injured in the fire, but the loss for the market's owners, who are both veterans, is devastating. A GoFundMe site has been started by a friend to help the Manzanita Valley Market's owners rebuild. The fundraising page states, "The Montezuma Valley Market is the dream of two young people who have served their country in the military and plan to be the change they want to see for the local community. They have served our community so well and never expected or even thought they would ever need anything in return. Now this family needs our help." Making matters even harder for the couple, just before the fire, they learned that their daughter has cancer and had just begun chemotherapy. So far, the site has generated around $12,000 towards their goal of $200,000. People who have made donations shared memories and posted comments thanking the owners for their support for the community. Shannon Riker posted, "Thank you for all that you do for the hiking community. We hope to see you back on your feet soon and do what you do best, putting smiles on hikers' faces." Kelly Witt commented, "I am a former San Diego County firefighter and served at the Ranchetta Fire Station for a short time. Your market was always very kind to us and supported our crews. I am honored to return the favor. Best wishes to you as you look to rebuild such a wonderful asset to the community." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Mitchell Murphy.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia, and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show. A free press is the foundation of our democracy. You can support independent public media for our region by making a donation or a sustaining monthly pledge of any amount at www.knsj.org. We're your community radio station, KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, serving the San Diego border region from the mountains to the sea. That's www.knsj.org.